They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights. On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. I'm joined today by Judy Homeowner. Judy has been writing to me for a while. She's been listening to the show, and she's very aware of a lot of the problems that are going on. And recently, I got a very thoughtful and thought-provoking email from her. So I asked Judy to come on and talk about it because I think it's something that we all need to hear. So, Judy, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule, writing to me, explaining what's on your mind, and telling me, giving me your ideas.
Well, thank you, and thank you for sponsoring this forum. It's extraordinarily important because, as we all know, homeowners are losing their individual property rights, and we do need action to do something about this.
We do. You started off your email by saying you attended HOA training, and I think that kind of opened your eyes. It opened my eyes 20 years ago when I decided that I would go after I had been a board member, so I did not need the training. But I went, and the information that we were given by people who supposedly knew what they were talking about was flat-out lies. Is that kind of what you ran into?
Well, I think you've got a point that there's a problem in that everyone's interpretation of the declarations and bylaws and what people can and cannot do are different. And most of these people, or many, are certainly well-intentioned. However, you can go to five different attorneys, get five different answers, you can go to five different trainers, and you'll get some commonalities, but other things will be different. So, of course, there's a lot of vagueness in all these rules and regulations and articles, and you realize that the mechanism itself for associations is just inherently flawed, and it's difficult. And it's almost impossible for lay, untrained homeowners to get a handle on all of this. And, of course, that's why it makes lawyers rich, the vagueness of it. But, you know, people are well-intentioned and trying to train, I think, most of the times. However, you know, anything goes. And that's when you realize that common sense needs to rule how homeowners can live again.
I think there's an inherent conflict of interest when the attorneys who stand to make money off of the squabbles within HOAs, and a lot of them are petty, some of them are not, and they're the ones who are doing the training, and they're the ones who are advising the HOAs, and they're the ones who are ultimately making the money. I think there's a huge conflict of interest there. What do you think about it?
Well, I agree. It's another inherent conflict of interest, which means the mechanism is inherently flawed. It's interesting, in the state of Florida, there's something that mentions that the state really doesn't have an interest in how HOAs are managed. But the fact is, if they're going to require HOAs, which a lot of municipalities are requiring now and encouraging, then they need to provide, you know, training, interpretation of laws, low-cost oversight and mediation. I mean, low-cost, Because there is a conflict of interest between the community association lawyers giving the training and being involved and making the legislation to promote HOAs, because they thrive from the conflicts that arise from all of this legislation and the mechanism itself, and it's wrong.
Well, here in Fairfax County, we do have someone who is paid for by the county to act as liaison between the county and CAI, believe it or not. And all of the so-called training that is being done is being done by the very same attorneys who and the managers who stand to make all the money on, you know, on providing false information. In fact,
yeah, it's a terrible conflict of interest.
In fact, they have a radio or a TV show, and I used to watch it. I don't anymore. And they sat there and lied through their teeth. They used to take calls, and I don't know if they still do, but I used to call in and talk to them about some of the misinformation. And what was interesting was watching them squirm, watching these sleazy attorneys squirm when we pin them down on what they said, because they're sitting there, they're quite happy to lie their way through it as long as nobody calls them on it. But the minute you do, I mean, you should see them. They're uncomfortable, they're squirming. You know, they didn't want to take our calls. They didn't want us, just so that they could keep lying and lying their way through everything they're doing. The county is actually endorsing this. I mean, this is a disgrace.
The mechanism is flawed because you have some good attorneys who are doing the best they can, and then you have some that just want to, you know, keep those fees going. But even for the well-intentioned attorneys, the problem is the mechanism is inherently flawed. And, you know, for the county to give the attorneys who benefit that much power is just wrong. So the question is, what do we do about this problem?
That's a good question. You're absolutely right, and I do know some of the attorneys, and they're not only well-intentioned, but some of them are ethical and moral and take the high road every time and will give you great advice, but not all of them. And unfortunately, it's the latter group that seem to get invited time and time and time again to provide the information on your community, your call, or your something like
right.
whatever.
And actually, even in Florida now, what's happened is they actually have low-cost mediation for condo associations. However, the lobbyist group of lawyers, from what I understand, from what I hear, has been trying to lobby to make it mandatory that the state only hire lawyers with, you know, so much training and whatnot to be these mediators. So the cost of mediation would increase, you know, tenfold. So, you know, again, it's a lobbying group like any other lobbying group, but, you know, what happens to the individual homeowners? Even I lived in Northern Virginia in a condo association, and I came up against a problem with the association, but I couldn't fight them because it would have cost me over $1,000 to get a lawyer to write them a letter, and, you know, that was just too expensive. So, again, the mechanism is flawed. It's in the favor of the associations, and individual homeowners, again, are stuck without any meaningful checks or balances or due process, and that's the mechanism's fault.
And so one of your caveats is that we need serious checks and balances and state municipal services to support volunteer unpaid lay board members, including oversight, interpretation of rules and processes, and low-cost mediation. I'm going to go, and I agree with you, as long as we're going to have these infernal things, you know, the state and the local municipal government really ought to be providing some kind of oversight. But here's the problem, because they mandate HOAs so that they don't have to do a damn thing. So they don't have to lift a finger. So they don't, it doesn't cost them anything. So now having to provide the oversight goes against what their main goal is. They'll take a, you know, hands-off approach, and they'll say, oh, that's a contractual relationship. We can't interfere. Really? Where's the contract? That, you know, how good is the contract if you mandate these damn things?
Well, you've hit the nail on the head. I mean, what's happened is municipalities decided that, hey, this is a great way. Have associations, promote associations, because that way you can actually double tax the people in the associations, because they're now paying fees for all those amenities that a municipality used to provide with our tax money. And not only that, it's kind of dividing up our country into different sectors, where those inside the gate supposedly are more safe than those outside the gates. And so by having HOAs, municipalities are in effect disenfranchising those people outside the gates and not providing them the safety that they deserve as well. And part of this is the Articles of Incorporation. It's the mechanism, and that's what needs to be changed. And so, you know, basically, gated community or not, and some people like gated communities, but many of us want back control of our homes as allowed under the real law for lawful purpose. But the local governments are limiting our choice by inducing and even requiring developers to establish associations. And it's getting harder and harder to find non-deed restricted homes or units. So we need options. We should not, as you mentioned, Shu, we should not have to give up control of our basic property rights to fiefdoms, no matter how well-meaning. We need to be able to get back to being governed by our real legal system versus automatically giving HOAs and condo associations the power to usurp our rights and make decisions not subject to checks and balances or due process. We need housing options. And this is why some people who complain saying, well, you signed your contract, so, you know, who are you to complain? I disagree with that, because the fact is, and here in Southern Florida, we have no housing options. If you want a new house or a condo that was built, you know, since 2000, then you have to go to an HOA almost. There's really no choice. So contractually, we're just kind of stuck. You know, we have no options, and that's why I'm wondering about getting funding in order to get some homeowners advocates to get together to perhaps think about a lawsuit that talks about these contracts and how we were really forced into the contracts because municipalities and states are encouraging developers to set up and establish associations. And so we really have no meaningful choices.
Judy, words have meaning, and encourage means they're sort of rah-rah, go ahead and do it. But the real word that we need is they mandate them, because if there is no HOA, the municipal government holds up all of the permits. So they have to, in essence, they are required to put in an HOA. And I think that, you know, let's use the proper wording, and let's use the proper language that conveys what's actually happening. They don't, municipalities don't encourage them. They want them. They're not going to take over anything. They're not going to
mandate them.
They are. And that's what the problem is that.
And Shu, you are absolutely right. So I will agree that in many communities they mandate HOAs. Now, if they mandate HOAs, no one can say that we've had a choice in housing. We don't. So to me, that could possibly be the basis of a lawsuit to overturn what people say has been our choice in agreeing to a contract under these articles of incorporation that do not protect homeowners' rights and are indeed a flawed mechanism. And that's why I'm saying we need to get our advocates together for action in order to put together provisions, some of the outrageous provisions that are in these HOA declarations, and possibly find some way to get this up through our judiciary to, you know, stop. I mean, we have to stop the mechanism. We have to be able to change to a mechanism that gives us due process and homeowners' rights again. And that might be one way of doing it, is through some kind of possible judicial...
What you're saying makes absolutely perfect logical sense. And every time I have come up with some of similar or the same arguments with some of my attorney friends, and they are the experts and they know what they're talking about, so I always defer back to them. But the argument on the other side is you didn't have to buy. The fact is that was in place before you bought. You knew what you were getting into. You went ahead and bought anyway. So you can't say you did this to me. It was in place before you signed the paperwork. So that's one of the arguments that we're going to have to overcome.
Sure, I can understand that. But I do think if we have some super clever, and I'm sure we do, lawyers and HOA advocates, that can be overcome. Because the fact is, you look at the statistics and the numbers and what people have actually been able to do and, you know, what kind of documents they ever got their hands on and the provisions, outrageous provisions in these. I mean, for example, you know, you could have a provision in these declarations that you have to do a chicken dance every morning. Okay, now, you know, does that mean if you sign the contract, you know, what you may or may not have read, and just because there are no other homes available, so there's no meaningful choices, that's enforceable? Yeah, I don't think so.
Well, I think you run into two separate sets of laws. On the one hand, it's the property laws, and covenants have traditionally been overheld. But then you bump into the contract law. And if you sign a contract, then you're put in a different position. Here's one thing I'm going to suggest, and this is going to have to go to someone, again, who's much smarter than I am, who's much more knowledgeable than I am. But someplace I read, and I don't think I was reading about HOAs, it was something entirely different, that dealt with a mandate, a government mandate, whether it was a municipal, state, whatever the mandate happened to be. The discussion included the fact that the mandates were unconstitutional. So now you'd have to get a really good, strong constitutional attorney to look at this and take it on. One attorney that I did run it past said, it's going to depend on whether the municipality had the authority to do that, or the authority to mandate something. And if they did, then, well, you know, you might not be on such solid ground. But again, this attorney was not really thinking, you know, was not giving me a definitive answer, but was trying to think my question through. And this attorney was not a constitutional attorney. So, you know, there are
people. And what you're saying, and so many wonderful people have been on your program as well as you, you know, trying to struggle with what do we do? What do we do? We know the problems. So now what do we do? And I see this, you know, on a number of parallel tracks. One is we need to get some very smart attorney advocates to look at the problem on the municipal level and constitutional level and see where there might be an opening regarding this whole contractual and articles of incorporation requirement. And, of course, the lack of choice, because there really is no choice anymore. And, you know, and I would recommend that your listeners send in outrageous provisions of their declarations that are, you know, absolutely unconstitutional or just totally off the wall. You know, I think ours has something about you're not allowed to use your home for anything that would embarrass your neighbor. outrageous provisions. And so I think we need people to deal with that issue and look at it from a judicial point of view. And that's going to take money to do. The second parallel track I would say we need is to have HOA advocates, including advocate attorneys, put together draft sample legislation that they can send to people in all of our different groups to try to get adopted by legislators. For example, I think it was a Dave Russell had some language saying, the planning agency of a municipality and exercising its authority shall not require, as part of a subdivision regulation or zoning ordinance, that a subdivider or developer establish an association. You know, I mean, there are all of these types of provisions that we could get in draft form, sample form, in order to get these organizations, able to co-lobby their own legislators. And another track would be what to do with established HOAs, and again, get a really good group of advocates together to put together sample declarations and bylaws that give homeowners more of a say and some due process and checks and balances in their own. So have people, recommend to the states that they do take over some training and oversight, interpretation of laws, mediation, whatever. But this is going to take money, and it's going to take a really good group of dedicated people that can start drafting legislation and ideas or ways forward.
You're bringing up a whole lot of really good points. I see a lot of different angles that need to be addressed in a lot of different positions or viewpoints that need to be looked at and considered seriously. I think one of the things we have is the existing HOAs, and they're probably not going to go anywhere, unfortunately. And then we have all the new ones that are coming on that are just multiplying like rabbits because people build and the municipality mandates an HOA, and so you've got more and more of them. And, of course, the governing documents that are being written now are infinitely more more intrusive and complex and complicated than the ones that were written in the 60s when all this first started, because since then, the laws have been changed, enabling associations to do all kinds of things, empowering associations. So all of that is sort of following the law. All of that is making associations much more powerful. And so that's being taken straight out of the laws and put into governing documents. I think we need to strip the laws. I think we need to take all of that away. I think any of those provisions that have been incorporated in governing documents need to be null and void, and they need to be gone. I think people should have options and should have choices, and I think people should stop being lied to because they're believing, they've been told, that they're being protected, that they're being, their property values are being protected, they're increasing. None of that's true. Absolutely none of that's true.
Well, I agree with you, and I hope if one of your contributors doesn't mind me reading from one of her emails, and let me just read it. It says, key message for the general public. Your American rights are under attack, even if you do not live in an HOA, because of the growing trend to privatize government under cover of corporate contracts. Results in government of, by, and for corporate real estate industry interests versus the government, and that nothing's going to change until there is a recognized need for homeowner protection under the law. But it doesn't exist today as long as the HOA is recognized as a corporation and the laws are designed to protect the corporation. And I think that's really important. So what do we do about it? I would say two things. One, we need a public expose on either front line, 60 Minutes. You know, a lot of people don't like Michael Moore, but, you know, someone who does those types of documentaries. And they need to read some of the outrageous provisions in these declarations. And unfortunately, you're right. The governing declarations are more intrusive, complex, and complicated, and they're taking over, or they're taking away our basic rights and governments. Well, we're living in a feudal era.
Yeah, we are.
Board members have incredible power. And the second thing is, we really need to start funding a group of dedicated homeowner advocates and get them to work on this. And to do that, I suggest we all start a crowdfunding platform, like a GoFundMe. And with your help and the wonderful people you've had on your show, you know, get a real strong group together and start working on specific actions, specific legislation, specific challenges to the present HOA, Articles of Incorporation mechanism. And let's work on this.
I agree with you with a caveat. I would recommend that we get this group together and make sure that we're all on the same page. Because over the years, and one of the reasons I started doing the show was because I wanted to provide information that wasn't readily available to everybody. What I noticed is everybody wanted to be the leader. And they all sort of, there's a lot of infighting, there was a lot of backstabbing. People had different ideas of what the problems were and different ideas of how to fix it. So I don't want to go and get a pot of money and then have everybody at each other's throats. I want to make sure that we all understand the issues and that we're all in agreement with the issues so that we find one or two things that need to be taken care of and not try to do a whole big sweep and clean to start with. I've had people tell me, and you won't believe this, but I've had people tell me that the only problem with HOAs was one board member in one association, and if we all work together to remove that one board member, then nobody across the country would have any problems whatsoever because there were no problems. It was all wonderful. It was this one board member. So when you're dealing with that kind of a mentality, when you're dealing with people who just cannot see the big picture, who cannot get out of their own, hey, it's me, 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 and my problem that's the important one, we're never going to be able to put together a platform. And without a platform, like every other movement in the HOA movement that we've had, has been, you know, has kind of fallen apart. And this is going to happen as well. No attorney's going to want to work with a group of people who are all over the place. You have to focus. You have to have one or two things that you want done. So a wish list with maybe just a few items on it. But before we start the crowdfunding things, let's come together and know what we want. What do you think?
Well, I think you make some good points. I mean, the fact is everyone has different perspectives. You know, some people like HOAs, some people like parts of HOAs. You know, maybe they'd like to have a fee for common areas or just the HOA just deal with common areas and not with everything else. Some people, you know, want cookie-cutter houses and the same types of mailboxes. And, you know, there's, you know, a lot of people have good reasons for, you know, wanting nice neighborhoods, you know, and they think sometimes HOAs are the only mechanism to do that. I disagree, but, you know, everyone has their opinion. And because of that, I think you're right. I think that makes sense. You need to narrow the focus. For example, who knows, but the focus could be get people together just to, you know, try to do something to enact legislation to where municipalities are not mandating HOAs for the future. I mean, that might be one thing. I'm just putting it out there as an example in order to narrow the focus. And, you know, I mean, for me personally, I understand that my HOA is kind of loose, but it's under Articles of Incorporation. You know, some thought to saying, hey, guess what? The fiduciary responsibility is also to homeowners, and that maybe it's a code of ethics or that people could adopt, saying that they can't just post a notice up at the community pool, but they have to actually send email notifications to everyone and allow comments from owners, you know, for 2 weeks before they take a non-emergency measure. Because right now our board gets no insight whatsoever from off-site owners. And we live in Florida. Half our owners go up north for the summer. So, you know, how can a board member represent those people if they have no clue what they're thinking? How can they make informed decisions? And under the Articles of Incorporation, they might not have to even ask those homeowners what their opinions are.
Yeah, they don't. I
so
mean,
maybe the focus could just be on those two things or whatever. But, you know, I think you're right. But we do need some coordinated action, and whatever action is taken in terms of sample or draft legislation or codes of ethics or whatever, I would think, and tell me what you think about this, that there should just be options. You know, people can take them, or whichever part of it they want that they think would work in their communities.
Well, I think there are a couple of issues that come to mind off the top of my head. Number one, we've got two separate, and these are physically separate issues. One of them is condominiums, where the condominium, the association, actually owns all the infrastructure and the bricks and mortar, so to speak, and homeowners only own airspace, individually own airspace. In an HOA, you own your house, and it's like a traditional thing. So you co-own, or the association owns, the common area. So I think that the laws governing both should be, by necessity, should be different. I think that in an HOA, we need to get away from a lot of the sort of people management. The covenants have to deal with the properties. The covenants run with the land. So in the covenant, if it says that you cannot paint your front door red, then that's a covenant. That's something you agreed to. Now you get board members or managers who come along and decide that you have to get permission to have a hose in your yard, or you have to submit and get written approval for the kind of flowers you plant. Is that in the covenants? Probably not. So let's get away from these stupid rules and regulations. They don't have the same weight, and they don't have the same importance. In a condominium, in Europe, and I've said this a number of times, in Europe, it's the homeowners, the condo owners, who get together at the annual meeting. They are provided with a report by the manager to say that the following items need to be done. There's a, you know, leaky roof over here that needs to be patched. I've got three bids. Here they are. We want, you know, it's time for elevator maintenance. It's time to redecorate the hallways. Well, you know, whatever the issues are, and I've got three bids, and here are the bids. And it's the homeowners, the condo owners, who get together, and they decide what they want to do, which bid they're going to take, and how much they're going to allocate to that, and how much they're going to pay in assessments. They then instruct the manager to oversee that. And that's the manager's job, is to go through and hire these people and make sure that they actually paint the hallways, repair the roof, do all of that, instead of the way it's done in the U.S., where the manager decides what kind of clothes you can wear when you go to out of your unit across the hall to the unit across the hall from you to your neighbor to ask for a cup of sugar. I mean, we've just turned things around so badly. But I think let's put the the power back with the people. But if you buy a condo, you will be required to attend the meetings. I mean, one meeting a year, and you will be required to vote. It's a duty. You can't just shrug it off like we do in this country, and nobody bothers to show up, and, you know. And there's a fear factor involved there. But let people know that if you do buy this, you are responsible for going and having a dialogue, spending an entire day with your neighbors and your fellow condo owners, discussing the issues, looking at the bids, getting a report from your manager, and then making a decision.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting. Condos are certainly more difficult to deal with than HOAs. One thing, though, is, you know, people travel. People are off-site. I've traveled throughout the world, and, you know, you never get notifications. You don't know the agenda items. You know, you can't participate, and that has to change. And that's the legislation that needs to change. But what needs to change also, again, is the corporate structure, because right now the corporation isn't necessarily friendly to homeowners, and they need to require homeowner opportunity, at least, for homeowner input before making decisions. And again, that's why we need some advocates that can look at the rules, regs, declarations, laws, you know, all of that, to pull something together so people can choose from a menu of items to hopefully adopt when they have friendly boards. They can adopt a somewhat different structure, or adopt electronic notification and comment period for owners. There are ways to at least make some material checks and balances through the adoption of friendly bylaws. And that's why I suggest we do some funding that, well, number one, would prevent municipalities from ramming associations down our throats so we actually have meaningful housing choices, and two, to providing friendly declarations or bylaws that people can try to get their established communities to adopt in order to make it more democratic, more checks and balances.
The choices I really like. Some years ago in Virginia, they had legislation that required board members to notify the homeowners of upcoming meetings and to provide them with an agenda. So, notice meeting this Wednesday. Here's what we're going to discuss. CAI industry lobbyists just went off the deep end. Oh, these poor associations, you're giving them all this work to do. They can't do this. They can't do that. They can't do the other. And I argued with some of them. I said, look, you've got email. They're sending it to the board members. Why can't you just have a whole list and just send it to everybody? It's not that big a deal. But the thing is, they have gone out of their way over the years to distance the homeowners, the owners, the very people who should be notified of all this stuff, because they don't want them there. They don't want the homeowners at the meetings. They don't want them involved.
Well, that's right. And that's why the mechanism that's in place is flawed, because it gives it's a feudal governing situation. It's taken away homeowners' rights, and it allows the boards, even well-intentioned people, to be bullied. And, yeah, the lawyers love it because they get paid by the board. And, you know, everything's vague, so the board always has to go to them. And, I mean, it's just nuts. And we know it's nuts. I mean, yeah, I can give you one example here. Easy example is, during the summer when our snowbirds, people who go up north from Florida, are gone, you know, a board member can put put an agenda item that just says pool, so nobody knows what they're talking about. And then they can go to a meeting at which nobody else knows really what it's about. No one's here, and because they don't have to electronically notify anybody. And, one person who doesn't ever use the community pool can decide that they're not going to heat the pool anymore. And, you know, so what happened to the interests of all those people who, you know, are snowbirds, you know, and they don't get notification. They have no clue about, you know, discussing it. the board's not making an informed decision. They're just being bullies. It's just crazy, and that's just a small example. It just shouldn't be. It should not be. It's not fair to have limited housing choices. It's not fair to have a say in how we're being organized. A lot of boards take over the job of real management companies. It's just crazy. So, homeowners need rights to have input so that board members at least have the opportunity and responsibility to make informed decisions. That's why we need some guest advocates or our advocates willing to work on draft covenants and legislation. And if we can marshal our resources to find folks, lawyers and activists and people with experience with HOAs to work on draft covenants and legislation, then maybe we could start making inroads. And we need public exposés. So we need examples of these outrageous provisions and declarations and outrageous, things that have been going on. And then we need to try to get Frontline, 60 Minutes, or a documentarian to start publicizing this. Because that's the only way you get change.
I'm going to use this to promote one of my websites. It's called From the HOA Trenches. And I set it up because every time there's a story, and if it hits the airwaves, if it's in the newspapers, however it's dealt with, CAI is over there going, oh, it's just an isolated incident. It just never happens. It's just you don't need to do anything about it. So they go to the legislators. They convince the legislators that it's really not a big issue. It is a big issue because the same stories occur time and time and time again, over and over again, all the way across the country. So if you have one of
and
your stories.
We have no housing options. We have no choices because, like you're saying, they're mandating these associations, which are feudal governments. So we end up having to give up our basic rights in order to just get housing. We don't have choices. When people say we have choices, we don't have housing. We don't have choices.
So if you have a story.
That's why I'm saying a good lawyer or a team of lawyers, I think, can make the case that there are no choices. And as such, there are no contracts because there really is no meeting of the mind. So, we are just stuck in order to get, modern day housing. And that's not fair. And I think if we do things through that kind of crowdfunding to get some kind of court case and these draft sample legislations that people can adopt, option A, option B, option C, whatever is good for their own community, and then stop municipalities from mandating these associations, then I think we're making some progress. Because right now it's a nightmare and we shouldn't have to lose our rights, our individual rights, to live in a neighborhood, to have a home. It's not fair.
Okay. The reason I started talking about the website, it was designed to collect these stories. So the stories that you want can go there. The whole idea is to have one central location so that every time something happens, nobody's going to be able to say, oh, well, it's just an isolated incident. It never happens. But if you hear from Ann in Arizona and some Beth in wherever and Carly in someplace else, and the same stories are just happening over and over and over again, it's hard to say with a straight face that they're just isolated incidents. So the website.
Oh, you're right. They're not isolated incidents. Could you give your website one more time?
I am. It's called FromTheHOATrenches.com, FromTheHOATrenches.com. So write your stories. Okay. You have a choice of whether or not we use your name, whether we, but we do need the story and we do need the information. I think looking at that should give us a little more guidance as to what is happening out there instead of just having, I don't like this and I don't like my board member, so that's the problem type of thing. But let's find out exactly what it is. The other thing I want to talk about also is whether or not, I don't know how many times you have said it's a flawed concept. This whole system is a flawed system. But my question to you, Judy, is, do we need HOAs?
No, I don't think so. I remember green, wonderful neighborhoods, and we had garden committees, and you know, municipalities that had community centers. and they were responsible for safety for everybody. And, you know, that's what we need. I think people want HOA now because they see certain communities that are run down and look like, you know, crap, I guess, to a lot of people. And, you know, that's because municipalities aren't using their dollars wisely. You know, I mean, they should.
They're not doing anything.
I think HOAs came about because, quite honestly, people didn't want blacks in their neighborhoods. Let me be right up front. You know, I think, you know, people wanted to keep out certain people. But also, I think people just wanted clean, well-kept neighborhoods with great amenities. But shouldn't the municipalities be doing that? You know, I lived overseas for a while, and I got to say, it's terrible. You go to Latin America and Africa and a lot of places, and the wealthy live behind high walls with concertina security wire. You know, because they've disenfranchised the people outside those walls. And, you know, that's a problem.
It is a problem, but I think that what we're doing is, you know, we're using a cannon to kill a fly. And it's just over the top.
Well, I agree. I think, you know, we just need housing choices. And we don't have housing choices. I couldn't find a place to live that had been built after the year 2000 in this community without getting into an HOA. I just couldn't do it. I looked. I truly looked. But, you know, I don't know how to fix up a house. I couldn't get a fixer-upper. And yeah, I was forced. I was forced into buying into an HOA. And, you know, I didn't want to give up my rights. I don't like that. I don't want that. But I've had no choice. And I thought when they said fiduciary, you know, that the board has a fiduciary responsibility, I thought that meant they needed to, you know, let me know what's going on and let me have input into their decisions so they can make informed decisions. Now I'm told, no, not really. And that's crazy.
Yeah.
And so that's why the mechanism is flawed. And why, how can you ask untrained, unpaid people to take on this amazing responsibility? Well, you know, they can't. They have to go to lawyers. And that's crazy. We shouldn't need to go to lawyers to live in our homes. You know, if you want a community pool or whatever, make it fee-based and have a professional manager do it. But if you want communities where someone does everything for you, well, that should be okay, I guess. But don't make it every community.
Look, you know, people say, well, I want to be able to walk to a pool. You can have a pool that's within walking distance of your house. Your house doesn't have to be held hostage to make sure that that pool is well maintained by people who don't know what they're doing. And that's what we have now. I've long advocated that if you want the same physical structure, then let real companies really privatize it. Let Pools R Us come in or Off the Deep End come in and build the pool and own the pool and charge you entrance fees like a country club, so that it's not your house that's being used.
And for landscaping, too, you can have those kinds of communities, but just don't mandate these intrusive, feudal HOAs for everybody.
Don't,
I agree with you.
No, yeah, and you don't need to to empower these associations to decide that you may not wear flip-flops in the hallways. I mean, you know, and you have CAI tell you that, hey, wait a minute. I attended one of their law seminars, and one of the attorneys said, the homeowners are the children. They don't know what's good for them. Excuse me? Treated the board members as the parents, so they would talk to the parents and make the parents control their children. And that's a sick relationship.
The homeowners should be able to do what they want within their house that's legal. You know, and it's crazy. So, you know, I agree. I think a lot of people agree. You know, people want to live in a particular type of community. then, you know, I guess they can, but it shouldn't be, but there needs to be choices so people aren't forced to live in these HOAs with declarations that the developer would never have accepted for themselves. I mean, it's unbelievable. And so we've got to stop it. And the question is, how do you stop it? And again, that's public expose. And we need a funding source, GoFundMe or something, to where at least a small group of people from the people you've had on your show, get together and think about some ideas that they should focus on with this funding source, in order to, you know, try to get a few things done. And I agree the focus needs to be narrow. Maybe we need to have a meeting regarding that. And we need people to send into the HOA trenches, from the HOA trenches, specific examples of egregious provisions and declarations and, you know, just examples. Because we need to move forward to get some unified action on a couple of things that most people can pretty much agree with. You know, and that could mean, you know, these are options for people to take because everyone has a different situation. You know, some people want some kind of control over their neighborhoods. Well, you know, fine, but not everyone should have to have that. We should be able to have communities. We should be able to have community pools that are fee-based. We should have municipalities taking care of a lot of these things, too. We need housing options, and we shouldn't be stuck with a contract that we were forced into, whether we knew the provisions or not, and a lot of people don't know the provisions, but that we were forced into. Because there were no other realistic housing options. And we need the state to come in and help with oversight, interpretation of laws, low-cost mediation, and everything else.
Yeah, but you have to be...
Because they're forcing us into these situations.
You have to be careful who's involved, because the state's got... Here's the thing. The state's going to turn to the industry attorneys for help.
Right.
Because the homeowners, frankly, some of them are a little bit off the deep end. Some of them, a lot of us have other jobs. We do other things. We're not into doing this full time. And for some of us, it sort of becomes a full time job. But the thing is, we don't have enough people out there who are knowledgeable and able to do this. So by default, the state is going to go to industry members. And so nothing is going to change. Nothing is going to change. So you have to make sure that what you look at and what you're trying to do is going to make a difference. Because I don't want to just tweak the edges. We've been tweaking the edges for eons, and it's really done nothing. You have to look at...
What do you suggest?
Well, I think we have to take a big picture look at things. You're right. Some people want HOA. Some people think that they're being protected. Some people think their property values go... It's all a lie. Some people want the gates because they think they're safer, and they're not. But I think you have to sort of demystify this whole thing and put the actual things on the table and discuss those and come up with an overall plan that includes non-HOA housing, which goes back to your choices.
Exactly. So let's talk next steps then. One of the next steps, of course, is for people to send in their experiences and their outrageous provisions to from the HOA trenches, your website.
But we are...
Second.
Go on. We're out of time, Judy, believe it or not.
Okay.
Quickly, a second. Judy?
Oh, yes. It is let's get together a group and discuss where we can focus a couple of energies that people support and think about a GoFunding, a crowdfunding in order to get some money, in order to hire some good advocate lawyers and others to work on at least a couple of the issues, maybe have municipalities not mandate HOAs. That might be the first one. And second, friendly declarations or bylaws that boards could adopt to give homeowners more of a say with checks and balances in the due process.
Judy, thank you so very much. We are out of time, but I really appreciate everything that you have said, and we will be in touch.
And thank you so much.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.